Thank you for listening to the Faith Radio Mornings podcast. Enjoy the conversation.
Start your day connecting faith to life with Faith Radio Mornings.
Let it rise.
Good morning. It's 4 minutes after the hour. This is Bill Arnold here for Faith Radio Mornings, and the morning forecast is 100% chance of coffee mixed with more coffee into the late afternoon with a slight chance of coffee after dusk. That's my forecast. Looking forward to that. So we start another day, hopefully, and our attitude is one filled with gratitude. I'm always hoping that's going to be my disposition when I get up in the morning. Not always the case, but I'm shooting to be that as my new goal. Because the gospel is good news to be believed, not good advice to be followed. So I'm looking for more ways to be specific about showing gratitude as well. Like if somebody holds a door for me, instead of just saying thank you, I'll look at them and say, I appreciate you. It's amazing. Their whole face lights up like a big Christmas tree. So look for specific ways to show gratitude for people. People love feeling appreciated. Instead of just saying thank you, say, I appreciate you. You'll be surprised at the response you'll get. Whatever it is you've got going on in your world today, don't let it beat you down. Jesus said, I've come to give you life. And believe me, the world is a better place with you in it. So coming up in the second hour, we're going to talk about kindness. And there's going to be a really interesting conversation with a guy whose name I can't remember right now, but I will have it by the second hour for sure, because I can do that, because I have paperwork in front of me and I can figure it out. But we've got a great show this morning. Genevieve Wood is coming on from the Heritage Foundation. I think the Beatles wrote a song about her name. I'm not sure. I'll have to check on that as well. We're going to talk about some of the federal immigration directives going on. And then Kim Cattola is going to come up in this hour as well. And there is so much interesting pro-life news, and she is very lit up. I was talking to her last night on email, and she cannot be any more excited about what she's going to talk about today. How about that for hype, Rebecca? You just gave me the big thumbs up.
That was that was hype-tastic. I loved it.
It was hype-tastic,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Of course, I've also had lots of coffee this morning.
Well, that's your forecast as well.
So I'm very excited.
Yeah, I love
about
that.
About a lot of things.
I love that as well. And then here's a little news item that gets my day started with a smile. The president of Iceland is opposing pineapple on pizza. He said, don't ask the president of Iceland if he wants pineapple on his pizza. Originally, he said if he had it his way, he'd ban it. But later, the Icelandic leader took to Facebook to revise his stance, saying he's not opposed to all tropical fruit. The president says he likes pineapple, but just not on pizza. He earlier said that if he could unilaterally pass laws, he'd ban fruit as a pizza topping altogether. But the Icelandic leader adds he doesn't have the power to decide what people put on their pizzas. And we think we have problems in this country, huh?
I know. Clearly, Iceland is in the middle of a crisis.
Take warm cheese and bread and you stick cold pineapple on it. To me, that sounds pretty good. I'd take that any day. I like it. All right. It is 7 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Genevieve Wood. She is on the studio line. She's, I think, calling from Washington, D.C. She's a very important person. I'm excited to talk to her. Do you have a filter you could put on that will make me sound more intelligent?
I will find one.
Please do, because I'm going to need it. Bill Arnold here, Faith Radio Mornings. Be back in a minute. All right, I hope we're getting our day started on the right foot. 9 minutes after the hour, Bill Arnold here. We're talking this morning to Genevieve Wood. She is the senior editor at the Daily Signal, which I think is under the umbrella of the Heritage Foundation. Rebecca's giving me a positive nod, so I think I'm getting some of that right, which I appreciate. Genevieve, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Bill. Good to be on with you.
You are so smart. I was looking at some of your YouTube videos last night. You are impressive.
Wow. Well, now I've got a very high bar to meet at this point.
Oh, trust me. The bar is high. But let's talk a little bit about the federal immigration directives and the impact that it is having.
Well, I mean, you know, we're looking for President Trump probably maybe today to reissue his executive order dealing with the ban on immigration coming into the country, dealing with countries that have bad vetting processes.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this is happening because we had a court that came forward, or part of a court, I should say, the Ninth Circuit out in California, that stepped in to try to halt this similar executive order that he issued shortly after coming into office. So they're putting out a new one that I think is going to address some of the court's concerns and try to get around having to have this legal hurdle.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the court's concerns?
Well, the court, and of course, it's not the court itself that brought that specifically halted the case. You had states that stepped forward and said, we have citizens in our state that are being harmed by this executive order. Their concern being that citizens that should not have been stopped from coming into the country, people that had green cards, for example, or that were permanent residents of the U.S., even though they were maybe originally from Yemen or Syria or one of these seven countries that the order affected, that somehow they were being harmed. And what the new executive order is purported to do, we don't have the exact language yet, is to go in and say those seven countries are still going to, we're going to have a temporary ban of letting in refugees and immigrants from those countries. But what we're going to do is say that any green card holders or people who were already on an airplane coming from that country when the order was put forward, we're going to let them come in. So they're cleaning up some of the pieces that I think, you know, people had trouble with. Now, that doesn't mean that some of these states and some of these parties that just frankly don't want any ban aren't going to try to sue again, but I think it's going to make it a much weaker legal case in the court.
Mm-hmm. Genevieve, how do we blend the Christian worldview with the immigration policies that are going on right now?
Well, I mean, as Christians, obviously, you know, we are to welcome aliens and, mm-hmm. and not just those that are our neighbors, but we're also, I mean, our government is also set forward to protect us. And this is not a permanent ban on a particular segment or group of people. It is saying we have countries out there for which their governments are not stable. They don't have proper vetting procedures. So we may have certain vetting procedures that we have in our country, but if another country can't give us information on the citizens that they have that are wanting to come here and therefore not allowing us to properly vet them, there's no way for our government to say we can be sure that these people are not coming here to do harm to this country, mm-hmm. to people who live here. So I don't think there's anything wrong or unchristian about our government trying to protect its citizens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's an unreasonable measure in any way.
You're making so much rational sense right now. Should I be suspicious of you?
Well, you know, sometimes there is some rational sense that comes out from Washington from time to time, and I think this executive order is one of them. And I would also say, you know, this was something that now President Trump talked about as candidate Trump. This is not a surprise or shouldn't be a surprise to many people. And also, they should know, it shouldn't be a surprise to members of Congress who've been around for a few years, because it was Congress under President Obama and his administration that originally identified these seven countries. And I should say, Bill, there's a possibility that the president's going to expand the executive order to simply not name these seven countries and just simply say any country that does not meet our vetting standard or that of our allies will be part of this temporary ban.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would suggest to people who say, well, this is just a ban on quote-unquote Muslim countries. No, this would be any country that didn't meet those standards. Now, right now, that happens to be predominantly Muslim countries, but as you know, and I'm sure your listeners know, there are also many predominantly Muslim countries out there in terms of their citizens who are not part of this ban. So you can't say those are the reasons that these countries are being singled out. It's not about the religion. It's about their vetting standards.
Mm-hmm. Genevieve, why are we so reactive? Why do we get so up in arms about this news? What you just said makes so much sense. It just sounds so reasonable that we're going to, as a country, be very careful as to who we let in for the safety and protection of its citizens.
Well, I mean, there are certain groups, such as the American Civil Liberties Union being one, they're part of this lawsuit, who don't think we should be stopping anybody,
mm-hmm.
from coming into the country. You have these kind of open border type organizations. And, you know, I think they put their open border, quote unquote, principles ahead of American security and safety. And I think that's wrong, but that's their viewpoint.
Yeah.
And then you have others who, frankly, just, you know, you have some folks out there who, doesn't matter what the new administration does, they're going to oppose it. I mean, you've seen that in some of these protests and the like.
Mm-hmm. All right, Genevieve, I have questions about National Security Advisor General McMaster, and I want to talk about the GOP and whether or not they're going to keep its promise to defund Planned Parenthood. That's all on the table when I come back. It's 15 minutes after the hour. Welcome to Faith Radio Mornings. Bill Arnold here. Be back in a minute. Good morning, everyone. I'm talking to Genevieve Wood. She has that horrible curse of walking into a room and being the smartest person in it. That's something I never suffer from. Genevieve, welcome back to the show. Let's talk about General McMaster. What do we know about him?
Very impressive. I don't know him personally, but people I know who have met him or who have worked with him say that he is a top-notch choice for National Security Advisor. And, I have not to date seen anybody really criticizing from either the Republican side, the Democratic side, really anywhere. He's gotten very, very high marks. So we're going to restart this process, if you will. He's not somebody that has to be confirmed. So he goes in as soon as he's sworn in. This is not a position that has to be confirmed by the Senate. So I think President Trump has probably now got his national security team in place.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why I've not heard of him before. I have lunch at the mall every day. Why do I not know this person?
not somebody that would have made a lot of top headlines in the past because he was part of the military. And,
okay.
Unless you were following strategic war planning, you may not have seen him before.
Oh, that's the reason. Now, would he work side by side with Mad Dog?
He will be working close with Secretary Mattis at the Defense Department, but the National Security Team is a separate entity, but they work very close with the Defense Department, Secretary of State Tillerson, and the whole State Department. I mean, they really have a number of agencies they work with, but they're based by the White House.
Are you liking this this team that is being assembled?
Very much so. I mean, I think the team that you see there is they're America First team in terms of national security. But I think their depth and level of experience and relationships and knowledge of the system is on par, frankly, with none. And I think again, that's one reason when you look at McMaster as a perfect example, he's not someone that's getting a lot of pot shots. I mean, no one's saying this guy isn't qualified, or that there's some history there, because I think everybody thinks he's above and beyond qualified.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of impressive. All right, let's move to another topic here. The GOP, will it keep its promise to defund Planned Parenthood? Whenever I see, will the GOP keep its promise, I always start with a thought in my head, does God keep his promises? And the answer is always yes. Then after that, I move on to the next thing, which is, will the GOP keep its promise to defund Planned Parenthood? Your thoughts.
Well, they have promised to do so. This is, again, something that they promised last Congress. If you give us, the majorities again, and we have a president who will sign the legislation, we're going to defund them. Well, voters gave Republicans in Congress majorities in the House and Senate. They elected President Trump. And so there really is no reason now for them not to follow up on that promise. How they go about doing it may be somewhat in question. But, again, that's something that could easily be part of the defunding of Obamacare, which is likely to come up in the next month to 60 days. And that can be part of it. It can be part of the reconciliation bill that defunds Obamacare and at the same time would defund Planned Parenthood. That's the way they did it last time around, so it's not as though they haven't voted on this kind of measure before. It passed the House. It passed the Senate. There's no reason that they can't do it again. And I don't see any reason that President Trump wouldn't sign it. So the only thing I could say to your listeners, it's always good to remind your member of Congress what they promised and remind them that you remember the promises and that you're expecting them to keep it.
And, of course, that would assume that I know my members of Congress, which I should probably get to know.
Absolutely. You should contact your House of Representatives and your two senators. It will have to start in the House first, so that's the first place.
Yeah.
But finding who they are, going online, finding who they are, contacting their offices and making sure they know you're following what they're doing.
I will do that after lunch at the mall today. All right, Genevieve, here's another question. Minneapolis was the fictitious town of the Mary Tyler Moore Show, and of course, I'm still personally mourning it. What a great show! And you wrote an article about her not really joining the feminist movement. I've always found that was interesting. Tell us more about that.
Well, I mean, a lot of times I think people see actresses, especially, you know, that genre being the 60s and 70s, and naturally assume that they would be part of the feminist movement. And Mary Tyler Moore did. She wasn't, like, immune from politics. I think she gave money to Jimmy Carter and ran a campaign ad for him. But she also said as recently as I think it was 2008 that, she, you know, she would have been a spokesman for John McCain if somebody had asked her to do it. So she seemed to kind of really be more moderate in the middle on things. But and she also was somebody who just said, you know, she thought being a mother was a very big part of being a woman's life, or certainly could be, and that being a face for the feminist movement, whether it was, you know, Gloria Steinem's movement that I think wanted her to be a spokesman for them, she just didn't see that as being a good role for her. So as it turns out, she was probably much more in the middle than many people gave her credit for. And even though, you know, and again, if you look back at the Mary Tyler Moore or Dick Van Dyke or any of the shows that she was in, there were some places where, yeah, they were reflecting the times of what was happening, women getting into the workforce, but they weren't over the top kind of feminist type shows like you might have seen later with Murphy Brown and some later episodes like Maude that were really in your face about it. So, yeah, she had a very an interesting and in some ways tragic life, but a very interesting life.
Yeah. You live in Washington, D.C., don't you?
I do.
All right. What is the big burning topic today in Washington, D.C. that you're hearing about?
Well, one of the topics happening today is that CPAC, which is the big conservative political action conference, is kicking off. And I guess it officially kicked off last night, but
okay.
It really gets going today and tomorrow. So you'll have a lot of conservative luminaries coming through. I believe Mike Pence, vice president, speaks today. President Trump is speaking there, scheduled to speak there tomorrow morning. And then a lot of, you know, conservative activists and media celebrities and congressional members from around the country will be there. So they usually get upwards of about 10,000 people, I think, in attendance. We'll see if they have that this year, being that it's a non-election year.
Mm-hmm.
But you're likely to see a lot of coverage of that on the news.
I would imagine they're going to get those numbers if they have the president and the vice president speaking. And there's been a lot of controversy over CPAC this year. I would imagine there's going to be a lot of activity there. That'd be my guess. Are you going
to
be able to get over?
Yeah, we'll see in the numbers. I'll be out there. I mean, I usually, you know, now that they – this time last year, so many of the people coming through to speak were people running for president. Now that there is a president, sometimes people go, okay, now I know who it is. I don't have to go. But nonetheless, my guess is they'll have good numbers.
Are you going to get over there?
I am going over. I'm going over later today, and we'll be there all day tomorrow interviewing different folks.
Well, that's kind of exciting. You looking forward to that?
Yeah, I mean, we the Daily Signal, which I work for, which is part of the Heritage Foundation. You were right about that. We always have a booth there every year, and it's a good way to connect not only with people here, because we're regularly in that circulation, but you do have people come from all over the country, and it's just good to hear what's on the minds of people from the different states and what they're concerned about, and it's a really good way to get a feel for that.
Yeah, well, Genevieve Wood, thank you so much for coming on the show this morning, and enjoy your time at CPAC. And thanks for all the information that you've given us. Your perspective is wonderful, and I so appreciate you coming on the show. It is 25 minutes
Thank
after
you.
The hour. We're going to be back in just a minute. More Faith Radio Mornings. Bill Arnold here. We'll take a break and be right back. I always appreciate my friend Ken Davis. We've been buddies forever. He always makes me smile and laugh. Bill Arnold here. Welcome to Faith Radio Mornings. You know, the gospel, which I love, is the proclamation that the man Jesus was also God himself. How cool is that? He came to serve us and to rule as our king, and he died for our sins, and he rose to rule and give new life. And he is reigning in heaven and will return to restore the world. That's another day of broadcasting, just to remind you of that.
That's an amen right there.
That is a big amen. Thank you. Was I preaching there a little bit, Rebecca?
It's good, though. It's good.
I was kind of trying to remind why we broadcast. It's for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like that.
You're not
going
to hear better news today.
I agree. Except, here's some bad news, is that Blizzard is coming. And here in the Twin Cities, where we broadcast, we could get as much as, I think, 18 inches of snow in the Mankato and Fairmont area. And that is brought to you by the Chiropractors Association of Minnesota. Because if you go out and shovel that much snow, you watch out. Your back is going to hurt. All right, we're going to take a news break when we come back. Lots more. I think we've got our friend Kim Cotola up next, and she's got a lot of pro-life news. You're not going to want to miss it. Be back in a minute. A lot of people view their work simply as a way to make a living. I know I do. Speaker and author Doug Sherman shares his thoughts on why this is the case.
Most of us have grown up in a religious environment that has been church-centered, where leaders have implied that commitment to church equals commitment to God. And so, you know, that's why people feel like they're on the B team when they don't go in the ministry. That's why they feel like, you know, their lives don't count. I'm in student housing. You know, sometimes people in regular jobs or stay-at-home moms or people that are not doing church work feel like the part of their life that is not devoted to church-like work, it no longer matters. But it's built on a false image. We are children of God, and we're called in every arena of family and work, and what we do really matters. And if we don't get that, if we think what we do doesn't matter, we will ultimately conclude that we don't matter.
Find the full interview with Doug Sherman on our website, myfaithradio.com. It's 35 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a little break and be right back with Kim Cotola.
What's foundational in your life, and why should you care? This is Jim Garlow. Jesus said in Matthew 7, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Everything in these houses was identical, except one thing, the foundation. The person who hears the words of Jesus and puts them into practice, it makes all the difference. Get the details at jimgarlow.com. And be prepared to live out your faith.
Good morning, everyone. It's 36 minutes after the hour. Hope your day is starting off well. Bill Arnold here. I feel like I'm having a little bit of a deja vu experience where I'm doing the morning show and I'm about to talk to Kim Cotola. And that's deja vu. Now, not to be confused with vuja vu, which is the feeling that I've never had this experience before. And you've all had those as well. But this morning, it's more deja vu. Kim, welcome to the show.
I might be the ghost of Christmas past and Christmas present, as far as we all know, Bill.
You might indeed.
The ghost of Christmas future? I don't know.
Well, I was looking over some of the pro-life news, and boy, it lit up this week. Let's start with talking about our dear Norma McCorvey, who died. Was it this last week she died?
Yeah, over the weekend, she passed away at age 69.
Okay. And, of course, she is well known as Jane Roe of the famous Roe versus Wade. And don't we all believe she is the first one that got all upset and wanted an abortion and got one, which is not true?
No, it's not true. She wasn't crusading for anybody. She had already had two children that she had placed for adoption because her life was adverse. She was, I think, 21 or 22 at the time of that third pregnancy. She had been a carnival worker, chronically unemployed, drug addict. She had a horrible childhood, and she would say that herself of her childhood. She, you know, she was a juvenile delinquent. She had all kinds of issues. And so she was pregnant. She went to an attorney to procure an abortion in Mexico. And the attorney said, "I can help you with that. But, you know, we have this case that we want to take to the Supreme Court. Would you be the plaintiff?" Norma said she had no idea that she was signing on for that. She just signed paperwork. I mean, she had a ninth grade education, Bill. Do you think she grasped what they were trying to do at the Supreme Court?
No.
So she signed the affidavit and never heard from the attorney again until 4 months after her daughter was born.
Wow.
So, and the attorney had disclosed to Norma that she had an abortion. She knew how to get one in Mexico. And so they completely used and exploited her. And, it spiraled down before she found Jesus, literally, and became, I think, a real hero, a heroine in the cause of her life at the end of her life.
She spent the rest of her life, though, being an advocate for pro-life and women, and what a model she was for so many.
And I think it's because she bounced into the world of pro-choice feminism after the, you know, court case made her a cause celeb, and they used her, and they put her in the media until they realized that they couldn't control her. And also, she still needed help, you know, with employment. So somebody got her a job working in an abortion business in Dallas. And it was there that she found out what abortion is and what it actually does to women. And she was so horrified by it that I think that's why she ended up dedicating her life to bringing legal abortion to an end.
Mm-hmm.
She felt personally responsible for all of those deaths because her name was attached to it. I don't think any reasonable person would accuse her of that.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you know the story, even if she had willfully thought to change the law.
Mm-hmm.
But she bore that burden very, very heavily. And it's with great relief that, you know, we know that she knows the Lord and we know that she's forgiven.
Mm-hmm. Do we know anything about her daughter that she was pregnant with at the time?
I believe, and I didn't go and review those facts before looking into this today, but I believe that her first two children were raised by her mother. And I believe that when her mother took the second child, Norma agreed not to see her.
Okay.
And then the third child, she surrendered parental rights. I'm not sure if that was within her family or if she was placed for adoption outside of the family.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about France. What are they up to? It ratifies its own suicide.
Well, France has been chipping away at the pro-life movement. And that culminated over the weekend with a ruling that put into law the fact that if you are a pro-life organization putting up a website, giving abortion information and offering women alternatives, that you are engaged in misleading people, and it's subject to a criminal prosecution and 2 years in prison with a $30,000 fine. So, I mean, abortion is, of course, legal in France. They followed the United States, legalized in 1975 after it was legal here in 73. And their birth rate is now 1.9. They're not reproducing, you know, as a nation. So, yeah, for them to shut down those who are trying to protect unborn life, and not to mention what's happening to free speech, it's really chilling, especially when you know that so many look to the European Union as some sort of moral guide as to where our culture should go.
I find that shocking. I mean, that is really shocking, that if you put up a website offering pro-life information, you can be criminalized for that, sent to jail and fined, and then forced to watch Jerry Lewis movies in prison.
Well, and you know, because, right, I mean, only the French find him funny, right? Is that the gag? Is that the punchline?
Yeah, that's the punchline.
Because he's not.
He was one point, but anyway.
Let me go. Yeah, let me not go there.
Yeah.
Okay. Jerry, God bless you.
Exactly.
But the thing is, Bill, months ago, they criminalized a pro-life ad that showed a Down syndrome child smiling. Because Down syndrome is, you know, a diagnosis that many women will abort for in France. Right now, the Down syndrome birth rate is almost zero in Denmark and Norway. Europe is doing its best to wipe Down syndrome off the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happening in France, too. So this pro-life group said, love your child, and showed a loving child who has Down syndrome smiling. And the authorities in France said, that might be troubling to women who aborted for Down syndrome. You can't show that.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk, Kim, about the Missouri law. Sperm
crazy.
Plus egg equals person. Whoa, there's a novel idea.
Hi, boys and girls. Here's
Hello.
Embryology
Welcome to the
101.
Show. Yes.
So Missouri has become some kind of a ground zero, too. And I think part of this legislation has been around in Missouri for a while. It hasn't had much of a chance of passing before now, but things are at an urgent pass. St. Louis recently became an abortion sanctuary city, Bill. This is a story that did not get a lot of play, but the alderman in the city of St. Louis ruled that abortion is like, they said it's a protected class. So you can't discriminate like you can't discriminate, you know, on the basis of race or gender or disability.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't protect individual business owners who object to abortion for religious reasons. If you own a building and someone says, I want to put an abortion business in there, You, as the owner of the building, can't say no.
Mm-hmm.
An abortion sanctuary city. So the legislature has now gotten busy trying to go ahead and pass this legislation that would say, you know what, that's destroying a human being because life begins at conception. And at CradleMyHeart.org, we've got it linked where you can find from Princeton University, not necessarily a pro-life or, you know, ideological bastion of, of right-wing thought. Princeton University has pages of quotes affirming from science that life begins at fertilization, that sperm plus egg equals person.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you still are questioning that, please go and look that up, because there's no question in the scientific community, but this is about when we begin to value people.
Mm-hmm.
And Missouri is saying we need to value them right away.
Mm-hmm.
As human beings.
Yeah. Okay, Kim, just a minute before we go to a little break here, but repealing Obamacare, if that happens, how is that going to impact abortion?
Well, it's complicated, and it has to do with the Stupak Amendment that came out in the midst of Obamacare. It's all about who's going to pay for it and whether or not insurers can refuse to add abortion services into whatever they cover. And so that part of Obamacare would be repealed, that abortion providers wouldn't be able to be subsidized by federal insurance money. And again, this is a conscience protection, because if our taxpayer dollars are going to providers who pay for and perform, or excuse me, get paid for and perform abortions, that breaches our rights as taxpayers to not participate in that. So Paul Ryan and others are working on crafting that language so that abortion access would be not something that would be, you know, available as taxpayer-funded insurance.
Mm-hmm. All right, I've got a couple more very important questions to ask. I mean, very important. And then a post from Facebook that just about wiped me out last night when I read it. We're going to talk about that when we come back. It's 46 minutes after the hour. Good morning. Welcome to Faith Radio Mornings. Bill Arnold here. Be right back. Forty-eight minutes after the hour, I'm talking to Kim Cotola, nicest voice in radio. She could read the phone book to me, and I'd be happy.
It's good to talk to you again, too, Bill.
I appreciate it. Okay, the House overturns Obama's parting gift. What is that all about?
Well, at the very last hour before he left office, I think 2 days before the inauguration, President Obama's Department of Health and Human Services wrote a rule that the funding that was in place for Planned Parenthood could not be rescinded by the states. And so the only way that that could be overturned is by a very, very strong majority. Well, the House got to work on that and said, no, we don't want to fund Planned Parenthood. And they're just another health care provider. They're not America's savior, the way they try to say that they're the only ones doing anything for women's reproductive health.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, the way things stand, a judge has blocked Texas being able to cut funding to Planned Parenthood, but the fight is not over. So Obama, so the Susan B. Anthony list, which is a pro-life PAC, which existing to elect pro-life candidates, said that that rule from President Obama was a parting gift to Planned Parenthood. And I think that that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very fair for them to say that. Because, again, there are many, many other providers who don't also do abortions that federal health money can go to.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Texas, wasn't there a Texas senator who picked up a gavel and went kind of nuts? Didn't he break a table or something to end an abortion testimony?
Schwerter was, you know, so Texas is ruling on all of this. And a lot of what's happening in Texas is circling back to those undercover videos from the Center for Medical Progress in the summer of 2015. You know, people are still talking about that as though that's the main issue. That is not the main issue. But anyway, and by the way, people ought to know that the Department of Justice is now working on perhaps indicting some of the folks at Planned Parenthood in Houston, I believe,
mm-hmm.
the Gulf Coast, I forget what the affiliate name is. But that case isn't over in the courts or in the Justice Department anyway. But so Schwerter was having a hearing about you know, what was going to happen about funding Planned Parenthood and late-term abortions and this issue. And a woman was speaking about, you know, on behalf of NAREL, which is an abortion lobby group, and she's an intern there and was sharing something about late-term abortion, and he told her her time was up, and she kept talking, and he gaveled, and she kept talking, and he gaveled, and it was a glass top table, and the glass broke. So, of course, feminists were deeply hurt and offended about him breaking that tabletop.
Mm-hmm.
And it stood in, you know, in their minds as him silencing a woman. And, you know, Bill, here's the thing. Abortion is the intentional killing of an innocent human being. And therefore, it's morally wrong. And women deserve better than abortion. And because of the pregnancy help movement, no woman needs abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And so... women can give counterfeit testimony about heart-wrenching stories. I'd be careful about saying counterfeit, heart-wrenching stories. But the reality is, it's our job as a society to help women while not destroying the youngest members of the human family.
Mm-hmm.
And we as people have got to be able to do that. We can do that, can't we, Bill? We've got to be better than saying, yep, the answer you need is to destroy another human being. We
right.
can't go there. We just can't.
I agree. And speaking of heartwarming stories, Rebecca, where's that box of Kleenex? There it is. Okay.
We have it on standby.
Oh, good. All right. Now I want to spend the last few minutes talking about this because be prepared to get blindsided by this story. Do share.
Oh, my gosh. So Royce Young is a writer and put up a Facebook post earlier this week about his wife, Carrie, and their visit to the doctor when they got the diagnosis that their baby in utero has anencephaly. Mayo Clinic says that's a fatal condition.
And what is that?
Anencephaly is it's a neural tube defect. And so they may be stillborn. They may survive a few hours to a few days after their birth, but they're unconscious. There's no cure for it.
Mm-hmm.
The treatment is just comfort care because it's fatal.
Mm-hmm.
And so as soon as she heard this diagnosis, Royce wrote, she said, well, can I donate my baby's organs? And he said, you know, that he had realized that his wife is very brave, but he had no idea that that's who she actually is. And he said, we made our choice to carry Eva, their daughter's name, to full term for a lot of reasons, but first and foremost was to donate her organs. And he says, we don't say that to try and sound like great people or anything. It was just a practical end game that in our minds, before we came to the realization that Eva is alive and our daughter deserves to meet her mama and daddy, it gave us a purpose to continue on. I love that, Bill, because, you know, If you hear the devastating words, your child has no chance. I mean, the medical terminology that couples will hear is your baby's incompatible with life, or this pregnancy is incompatible with life. To be able to say, well, we're still going to welcome this baby. We're going to take whatever time God gives us with this baby is, first of all, a hugely brave decision in our culture. But then to be able to say, our child will be a helper for whatever time God grants this child on earth. It's an amazing story. It's a lovely story. And they really need our prayers. Eva's due on May 7th.
Okay. Now, if my voice sounds a little messed up, it's because for that very reason. That's really, really moving.
He said, Royce
keep talking, because I can.
Royce said that in his Facebook post. He said they have a son, Harrison, and he wrote, whenever he gets hurt or has to pull a Band-Aid off, Carrie will say, are you tough? Are you brave? And that little boy will nod his head and say, I tough, I brave.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I'm looking at Carrie right now, and I don't even have to ask. She's tough. She's brave. She's incredible. She's remarkable. Cut from a different cloth, combining wit, beauty, courage, silliness, character, and integrity into one spectacular woman.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this is what pro-life looks like. It is not about taking away somebody's rights. It's about encouraging women to go higher and to go deeper and to love with more bravery and toughness than we ever thought was possible for us.
So, Kim, what do you have linked on your webpage for us? I want to draw attention to that as well, because listeners can go to your website and to check it out.
Yeah, well, this Sunday night, which Cradle My Heart airs on Faith Radio stations Sundays at 8 p.m. Central, we're going to welcome Walter Hoy, and he's going to talk about pro-life from the Black history perspective. And it is fascinating, Bill, because he says, you know what? Abortion takes us back to not a person. And he says there's a huge connection between abortion and civil rights. So you'll find out more about Walter Hoy in our upcoming interview. And also postings about Cradle My Heart today, our new short feature. So, yeah, go visit CradleMyHeart.org.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Kim. And I appreciated the deja vu moment I had with you this morning.
Thank you,
Bill.
Have
a great
rest
of the week. Yep. It's 56 minutes after the hour. We'll be back in just a minute. Minutes after the hour, here's a new feature on Faith Radio Mornings, which I'm going to do today, and maybe not tomorrow. Anyway, and that is the Bible Spotlight Person of the Day. All right? Today's person is Joshua. He was the leader of the people of Israel after Moses, one of the only two people who were both rescued from slavery in Egypt and also set foot in the promised land of Canaan. How about that for Spotlight Feature of the Day? And if I get motivated, I'll do it tomorrow. It is 58 minutes after the hour. We'll be back with lots more Faith Radio Mornings. Bill Arnold here. So glad you joined us. Thanks for being here. Be back in a minute.
Thank you for listening to this conversation from Faith Radio Mornings. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make your gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the impact of Faith Radio Mornings. Also, take a moment to subscribe to this podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player and never miss a show.